Gravette, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, while we're in between books, we're going to do a special. We're going to do one called Salvation. I receive cards and telephone calls that address this fact. We never hear you talk about salvation. Well, I talk about salvation all the time. It's just that not many people recognize true salvation when they hear it because of the traditions of men, the are you saved, and so forth. Because there's a great deal more to salvation, though in the simplicity in which Christ taught it, sometimes traditions can oversimplify even that. For example, it is written, God so loved this world that he gave, I repeat, gave his only begotten son, gave him to what? Crucifixion, death, whereby whosoever should believe, should what? Believe upon him, would not perish, but that they would have eternal life. I realize the King James says everlasting, but the manuscripts, the word is eternal. Life without end, from the creation of the soul through the eon. In the first place, salvation, the very fact that God gave his son, takes away the free part of this. In other words, most people will say, salvation's free, all you have to do is receive. Now, Christ, which is a part of us, paid a great price. He paid with his life. And it causes one to stop and ponder a moment when someone might say, all you have to do is believe to be saved. But believe what? You have to believe that Christ was the Son of God, and you have to believe the Word of God. Now, when you believe the Word of God, that's quite a book, quite a scroll, a lot in it. God did not send us a little piece of paper like this and say, this is what you do. Just believe and just throw the rest of it away. I've actually heard men of God supposedly make that statement. Just teach Jesus and throw the rest of the theology and the word to one side. That won't cut it, my friend, and that will not fly. And it shows a great lack of love for Almighty God, our Father, who took the time to give us the word and the knowledge and the wisdom that we could understand even within his emotions. Inasmuch as we are supposed to bring him happiness, as the last verse of chapter 4, book of Revelation states, that's why we were created, for his pleasure, then surely if you love him, you would want to please him. And within his word, we find the ways we react and do that do please him. So I want to talk about salvation, but it's pretty well up. Let me first start by saying God, the living God, will not ask you to do something that he hasn't done himself. Now, I want to qualify that, because there will be some that will say, did you hear what he said? God has done everything that man has done. I didn't say that. I said God will not ask you to do something. People do a lot of things, but God didn't ask them to. So I want to state that again. God will not ask you to do something that he feels he is too good to do. When he planned this earth age, he said to the Elohim, God and his children, he said, hey, let's make man in our image. What does the our mean? God and the souls he had created. Did God create your soul? Well, I hope so. If not, you're certainly an alien in a universe that was created by my Father. And I would not know where you came from in as much as he is the creator of all. Naturally, you're his child. Therefore, as sure, well, what does that mean, make in our image? Well, that's why Christ would say, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. He was made in his image. The same as you were made in the image of your soul, a spiritual body, if you so choose to put it that way. But let that not throw you, my dear one. If you have not adequately studied our Father's Word and come to realize those things, let's go to the Word itself as where you must always go and find out. We could ask ourselves many questions. Why was it necessary that Christ die in the flesh? Well, perhaps we can learn. I want to go to chapter 2, the book of Hebrews. Let's study this chapter. It has a great message that pertains to salvation, though I doubt you've ever heard a salvation message taught from Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go with it. Hebrews chapter 2, with a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. Therefore, verse 1 reads, therefore we ought to give thee more earnest heed. The more earnest heed to what? To the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And this word slip in the Greek is as it would be leaking out of a vessel. It would just slip away. In other words, if you don't pay earnest heed to the Word of God and hear it, hearing it in the Greek here means to hear and understand. It doesn't mean just to hear a sound, to hear a phone, that is to say phonics and so forth, but that you heard with understanding, whereby it settled in the seedbed of your mind and you absorbed that truth. That's why you can't just say, I believe. It's a very possibility, that it's a very strong possibility, if you never study God's Word, everything you've ever heard from the Word itself with understanding is probably leaked out and gone. All right? Verse 2. For if the Word spoken by angels was steadfast, if that was true, and every transgression, that's to say, of the people, and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, when you sin as a human being, and God corrects you, even to the point of chastising you, punishing you, let that punishment in itself prove to you that God's Word is true. Do you understand? Let that correcting itself, that correction itself, document to you that God's Word that you have heard is true. You see, emotions, the feeling of God, the love of God, His laughter, His tears, your laughter, your tears, your depression. God does not get depressed. He knows He has the upper hand. But sometimes people do. Your cure for it is here. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That's our subject. We have a great salvation, a great method of salvation that God placed in action, and it is a salvation of action, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. In other words, it was passed on. God spoke about it in the Torah, the Old Testament, even in the Pentateuch of salvation. Salvation is mentioned throughout the Old Testament. And then it was taught by his Son, who came in the flesh. And then many heard through the Holy Spirit, and they teach that word today. Many do, I don't know all that many that really teach with any depth whatsoever into God's Word. There are many, and be thankful for those that do. But the source, and don't you ever forget it, is God Himself, Yahweh, His Son, His Savior, and your Savior. He that showed us the way by living out, if you would, in the form of God, yes, for if you had seen the Son, you have seen God, for God said, let us make man in our image, meaning His image also. And if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. I'm emphasizing that to get your mind to think for a moment on the wonderful plan of salvation and the simplicity in which Christ taught it, yet in the depth of love that it flows. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, many miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, properly translated, according to His own will. Oh, I tell you this, God, through that tongue on Pentecost Day, that was a miracle, to, as it is written in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost Day, verses 6 and 7, that they spoke, and it didn't matter if you spoke an Oriental language, a Polynesian language, if you spoke English, if you spoke a Germanic language, whatever you spoke, you heard it coming from the same mouth, all cloven, it is in the Greek, all languages at the same time that needed no interpreter. That, my friends, is the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is shaking when you hear the true tongue from the Holy Spirit. To hear all those languages, no gibber, no static, but by that I mean the person that heard in the German language would not hear any of all of the Oriental dialects, all right? All very clear, and they only heard that was in their own tongue. That, my friend, is a miracle and a gift from God, and is absolutely the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that there need not be an interpreter present. The touching of the people, the healing, the giving of sight, Lazarus from the dead, all those miracles done, not only these, but the miracles of old time, the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of Jordan, the giving of the manna, the angel's food, that man in the flesh partook of that angel's food, for the same food sustains both bodies, the flesh and the angelic body, because they are both made identical, except from separate substances. But the metabolism works equally in both bodies, else the same food, manna, angel's food, as it is written in the Psalms, documented, given to Moses to feed the children of Israel for 40 years. Those, my friends, document that God's word is true. In other words, what it is said here, from the very fact that when you sin, you're corrected, that proves it, as well as all these wonderful things that have happened down through the years, document the truth. Verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. What world to come? The third earth age, the eternity. What did he say here? He said, I did not put angels in control of that. Well, who did he put in control of it? He put a fallen angel, or a fallen cherubim over the world, as far as those that will allow it. That's to say, the prince of darkness, Satan. There will be no angel in control, or the world made subject to an angel in the eternity, there is one, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, if you want to know, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Question. Or the Son of Man, that's to say Christ himself, God's Son in flesh, let us make man in our image, that thou visiteth him, that you crowned him with honor. That why did you put flesh on Christ? In other words, verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And so he has. And if you are in him, you also have power over the enemies of your father. Just for a little while that happened. Now he sits at the right hand of God himself, until all of his enemies are put under his feet. Those that honor him and respect that crown that was given him work a work even in this world to accommodate the ultimate plan of salvation, and that is to say to destroy those things, the lies. How do you destroy Satan's lies? By telling the truth. By teaching the truth. By living the truth. Therefore, Christianity is not a religion, but a reality, a life. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing, I repeat, nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We still have a little ways to go, but you can put it under him by demanding and declaring the authority. All things were put under that righteous law of Almighty God, that law being that I, Luke chapter 10, verse 18 forward, I give you power over all your enemies. He was speaking to you. If you challenge and if you accept that plan of salvation that gives you that power, authority, and control. You see, there's a little more to salvation as a servant of the living God than to simply say, I believe, and throw the book away. The book is your marching orders, your plan for the day. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Why was Christ made in the flesh? For the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Why? God, made in the image of man, was the only one that could live in this flesh body and be tempted with everything that is common to man and yet never sin. You see, God would not ask you to live in one of these painful flesh bodies. It's wonderful when you're truly in him and every day is good, but there is still pain in living in the flesh. And we will realize that more and more as we come to that spiritual body, if we have won the victory of the race spoken of by Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, 10 chapters hence. Again, I repeat, with understanding, knowledge. In other words, God, when he said, let us make man in our image, he did not ask those beings to do something he would not do himself. Therefore, if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. Just relax with that. Don't get all uptight by traditions of men and the various degrees of understanding of the offices of the Godhead. Just look at the facts here for a moment, all right? And let them flow in the love. Why would he die? Well, let's continue on and let him tell us. Verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in other words, the creator of all, in bringing many sons. What was the purpose? In bringing many sons, there's no gender in this, unto glory, to make the captain, or the pioneer, you might say, of their salvation, that's the subject, perfect through sufferings, humility, the glory, and the victory in him. He died whereby we might live. He would not ask you. Everyone must die. That's the I won't even use the old cliche, taxes and death. There are two things that are a must, all right? You're going to do it. And there's one thing certainly you're going to do, and that is to say the flesh is going to die. It's not going to live for an eternity. He wouldn't ask you to be born into this flesh body and insert your soul into it, else he had done it himself. Now, that may, some people may have a problem with that. If you do, tough, all right? But the love entailed therein, because within that, and we'll go a little deeper here in a moment, relax with me. Enjoy the love our Father shared. Inasmuch as he gave that life for us, that we could come into glory ourselves, for there's certainly nothing glorious about us that falls short, that sin, that live in the flesh, but certainly through him, that glory is shared in your life, and he counts you as perfect when you repent and let him know you love him. He loves you that much. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Let us make man in our image, all in one. Our, not your, not my image, our image, that we are all in one. Let us make that human, flesh man, the clay man, giving them the choice of choosing between the wicked and the just, giving them a testament with miracles and gifts, whereby they know of a certainty that to believe is to have eternal life, are the example set forth by the death on the cross and the death that each flesh body must do, that if you are sanctified in him, by him, through him, that's the only way that you have that eternal life. Otherwise, you're going to die an eternal death that is called the second death, as you will find well recorded in Revelation chapter 20, regardless of what men might say. I said regardless of what some men might say, that is the second death. And I will quote from Matthew, fear not he that can destroy or kill your flesh body, but rather fear he that can cause your soul to perish, meaning in the second death. He died for us a very painful death. Would you really think he felt pain? Absolutely. God is very natural. He does not do things unnatural, and to crucify someone and to say it was without pain is very unnatural. He would not do that. He did it for you because he's not ashamed of you, even if you're ashamed of yourself. He's not ashamed to call you even his brother or sister. He loves you. Verse 12. Saying, what was he saying? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Do you know what he's quoting from there? That's quoted from Psalms 22:22. Real easy to remember, 22:22. The song of the cross. The words that Christ spoke on the cross of the crucifixion. That death on the cross would prepare the way. That sin was paid for. By what? Kinship. Brethren. Kinsman Redeemer. That he loves you enough to say, hey, I know they can't do it. They fall short. But I love them enough that I do it for them to reclaim their soul if they will believe upon me. I will declare that message in the church. Verse 13. And again, you know, we're quoting scripture here. And again, I will put my trust in him. That is from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I tell you what, that's quoted from Isaiah chapter 8. It's written there. You're supposed to understand it. Do you know what's written there in Isaiah chapter 8? We're going to make a little side trip. We're going to find out. We don't quote the Old Testament at a time that we're supposed to grow from it without going there to understand, especially this thing that pertains to salvation. We don't want to lose anyone. If we can help it, we will. But the thing that saves is God's truth. God's precious truth. So we're going to go to this 8th chapter, and I'm going to pick it up in the 18th verse and read the scripture that was just quoted. I believe you'll have it on your character generator. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are what? Are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. In other words, the very lives of those that follow the living God are signs and wonders to the world that Christianity, he that was made a little lower than the angels, Messiah, Yeshua, walked this earth, paid the price. And those signs and wonders of the blessings that those children receive are a witness to the fact that God's word is true. Do you understand what Christ said here through the word? You're one of my signs. Your very being. I don't care. Well, I'm not worthy. Well, I don't care whether you think you're worthy or not. On repentance, he thinks he's not ashamed to call you brother. And let you be a sister, and let you be a sign. Verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek, when these others will say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God instead of muttering and peeping and squeaking? Well, I want a religion that's exciting. Well, sick it, friend. I said sick 'em. Like, you know, if that's what you want, if that's your bowl of tea, go to it. But you're short-lived, let's put it that way. You should seek the God, the creator of all things, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? In other words, why seek the dead when you have the living Father? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, this witness, these miracles, if they speak not according to this word, what? The word of God. It is because there is no light in them. If someone comes along to you and says, God gave me this great truth, and you do not find it in this word, that man is a liar and a false prophet. I said that man is a liar and a false prophet, because God will never counter his own word. There are many that believe he does because of their ignorance in the manuscripts. God's word does not counterdict. It's just that man does not always understand. 21. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Why does God let this happen? There must not. What kind of God is he? Well, why don't you read his word and find out? If you had read his word and knew how much he loves you and what he has done for you, you would never challenge him, showing ignorance and stupidity. For if you understand even the governments that rule, you would understand the plan of God as in prophetically, in speaking prophetically as we see the one world system as it ebbs forward, as it comes into reality. Verse 22, and they shall look unto the earth, not to God, no, they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. What's in darkness? You can't see very well there, my friend. You can't see clearly in that is not true. There is only one way you can see clearly today, and that is to have a working knowledge of God's plan of salvation. This plan of salvation. Now let's return to chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, and let's pick it up with the 14th verse. Is that correct? And let's go on with it. Yes. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Let us make man in our own image. That means phantom, copy, exactness, meaning image. This is the purpose. That, why did he die on the cross? That, through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In other words, he did it to destroy the devil. Do you know why? I'm going to give you a very deep thought. Some will have ears to hear and some will not. Don't worry about it. God never does anything, or ask man rather to do anything, one of his children to do anything, that he will not have done himself. He died on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. Why? The devil in Ezekiel 28 has already been sentenced to death, and also Ezekiel 28 will let you know that God created his soul, and God has to kill him. God has to kill one of his own soul creations, a child. A very evil child, yes. But it's a serious thing to have to kill a child. And our Father allowed himself to be crucified by the Kenites, the enemy. That is to say, those that led the rebellion. Whereby when it comes time for the second death to destroy the devil, he won't have to say, I really hate to do this. I really dread doing this because they did it to him. The devil did it to him through his children, just as certain as he did it himself. Receive it or put it on the shelf. It doesn't matter. You'll find out someday that it's exactly true. And that day may not be too far away. He died on the cross so that he could destroy the devil. And he wishes to bring many brethren to his love rather than the love of this one that must die. Thus they must die with him. That is to say, go to hell for some people. Verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. To deliver them, to give them freedom forever. We enjoy that already. The chains of bondage are gone. And we are free to work, though even men would see us with chains. We still can work. 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He was not too good to take on flesh himself. Let us make man in our image. I know I'm repeating that, but I want you to see this. I want you to hear it with understanding into the very cells, the buds of your mind. 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Yes, we sin. That's why his love is why we can say that we are saved. We have that salvation because he saw fit to give so much. Don't you ever say salvation is free. That day, that the time came, that he was the Passover lamb, and he died, he made like us, and his blood dripped from his body. The pain, no doubt immense, as it was natural. He never whimpered, my dear one. Why? He loves you. God did not have to, after all, he is Yahweh, the Creator, be made lower than an angel in the sense that to do this for us. He chose to do it for what purpose? That he could be the reconciler of your soul, saying, come to me. I love you that much. And when you repent, he says, it's okay, forget it, don't ever mention it again. I call you a perfect child, a perfect brother. It's so hard for man to accept that simplicity of repentance, forgiveness, because of the love our Father has for us. Let us make man in our image, he said to the souls around him. And so it was, and so it is, and you witness it every day. Why? It is written. Verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Have you ever been tempted? Hey, don't try to con this old boy. Don't try to con this old Marine. I know you've been tempted. I know there's not a living soul that hasn't been tempted. But he suffered that he be able to secure. That means to help, to guarantee them that are tempted. That means to help you through it, to forgive you if it is necessary, and to mark you perfect. Why did Christ die on the cross? To destroy the devil. To ultimately do away with those that would hurt those that love him. Salvation. Salvation. A story of love that can never be matched. Salvation, your salvation, paid for by the almighty love of God that he saw fit to live in the flesh, and to whereby you could be reconciled. He loves you that much. He loves us that much. You know, it makes it so easy when we understand this to the very bottom of our soul, that it automatically turns you into a can-do type person, because you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You're a child of God. And he's in control, which puts us in control. Has he reconciled you yet? And some naturally would say, if they're not familiar with the scripture, well, I don't know whether he has or not. Well, have you asked him? See, when you ask him, that automatically documents to him that you believe. For as we read, and as he said through this one Paul, and through that one Isaiah, these children that have been given me are signs for when you receive, and when you are reconciled, and when you are forgiven upon repentance, you become one of those children, one of those brethren. Yes, it's very simple to say, Lord, I thank you for having paid the price for my sins, and I ask your forgiveness for them. And you receive that beautiful salvation intuitively. It is done. But don't forget the price. Every drop of that precious blood was shed to make it possible. No, not a simple thing, a painful thing. But as sure as the pain of a mother giving birth brings joy at the end, so it brings him that joy. Do you know that even the angels in heaven rejoice when you come home, when you repent, when you say, Lord, I love you? There's a party takes place of rejoicing and shouting because he loves you very much. No, salvation is so simple and yet is so steeped in tradition and love of our family. What family do you mean? Let us make man in our image. There's only one family. There are different peoples, but God has one family. Think about it. Salvation. Simple? Oh, yes. And yet, complicated? It would be to some. But to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's the greatest love story between a father and his children that can ever be told. All right, bless your hearts. If you listen a moment, I want you please.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
All right, bless your hearts. There we are back. Let's have a look at the 800 number, 1-800-643-4645. That 800 number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the United States, including Alaska, Hawaii, and our wonderful neighbors to the north, Canada. If the spirit moves and you have a question, share it. If you wish to pay your own toll, the area code is 501-787-6026. Those of you that listen by shortwave, your announcer will give you our mailing address at the end of the hour. Now, If you have a prayer request, he's your Father. He's your Father. Talk to him. Go directly to him. Father, we come to you and we ask that in these troubled times, as we come in and move deeper into this generation, around this globe, we say, Father, bless those that are doing thy will. Bless those that are hearing thy word. Use them as that sign and wonder, touch, bless, heal, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, amen. Thank you in Yeshua's name. Okay, let's get right into some questions here and let's see what's on the minds of people. Brian from Washington, where can I document that our souls were created in the world that was? Many point to Genesis 2:7 to document that our souls didn't come into existence until Adam. Well, Brian, I don't see how at all that someone would think their soul didn't come into existence until Genesis 2:7. What was created in Genesis 2:7? God formed the flesh body from the clay and breathed the breath of life, and man became that living soul. Why? God put the soul in the man. Let us make man in our image. And one of those souls entered that man, Adam. So, hey, don't let the uneducated use a scripture that very clearly states the object being that the flesh body was formed and rob you of where the soul came from. God gave it, all right? Don't let somebody twist scriptures on you that way. That's Satan's number one trick when he was tempting Christ in the garden. He quoted from Deuteronomy as well as other places, but anyone that takes the time to go back and check, especially from the Psalms, what Satan quoted, oh, he was a scripture lawyer, friend, at how he twisted the word. Men try to twist it today. Don't let them, Brian. All right? Keep them straight. Natalie from Dallas, Ecclesiastes 12:6. My companion Bible gives definitions for these words, and it makes sense, yet the Strong's Concordance definitions do not match the companion Bible. Where does the companion Bible get its definitions? Natalie, my dear, she's speaking of Ecclesiastes 12:6, that place that states, ere the silver cord should part, and that golden bowl be broken. These are figures of speech, my dear, and when you take the Strong's and check it out, it's going to be a bowl, and it's going to be a silver cord. But it's just like if I were to say to you, Natalie, let's see, what figure of speech can I use? I went blank on 4-1 that I, not knowing Natalie that well, I didn't want to tell her to paint the town red. In other words, to say, I'll use it now that I've said it. If I were to say to you, let's raise Cain, don't be offended, dear. I'm using this as a teaching tool, all right? If I were to say we're going to raise Cain, it would mean we're going to go out and kick our heels up a little bit, all right? And we could take a Webster's Dictionary and we could look at Cain that's growing, sorghum Cain, and what have you. And sorghum Cain would be sorghum Cain. But in your mind, it would mean something else. Well, that's what the silver thread means. The spirit breaks free of man, that golden cord, that silver cord. Ere the bowl break, that's the skull, the head. It's a figure of speech, an idiom, all right? The companion Bible, that's one of the reasons I especially like for you to have it as a study tool. It translates and explains the idioms used in that century whereby you can understand the analogy given, all right? Got it? Okay, Brad from Minnesota. Can Jesus Christ condemn his own creation? Well, he doesn't want to. He created man, yes. And he will never condemn a man for doing what he instructs him to do. He will only condemn man for refusing or choosing not to do what he tells him to. And condemn him? Yes. In Satan's case, he's going to destroy him. The same as Satan destroyed him on the cross. In the flesh, that is to say. So, many people twist their minds into thinking of what is commonly called the reconciliation message, that all things will be reconciled, even Satan. Don't ever believe it. That's a bunch of malarkey. In the eternity, thank God, all we will have there are people that choose to live free and peaceable and in the love of our Father. Mary from Tennessee, are there any indications that Antichrist is near? My. What a world we live in. The nonsense. The murder. The crime. The wickedness. And we're almost as though we live in Sodom and Gomorrah. As we see the coming out parties. Yeah. There's a lot of signs that it's not very far away. Sharon from Virginia. The powder and the paint shall stink on the day of death. What does that mean? That we shouldn't wear makeup? Where, Sharon, where in the world did you read that? The powder and the paint shall stink on the day of death. I don't remember, my memory sometimes fails me, but not too often. I don't remember ever having read that in the Word of God. What kind of translation or Bible do you use? Now, I can, and my mind is racing. No, I'm going to have to reject. I've never read that in God's Word. We could read in Jeremiah chapter 4 that one could paint themselves and make themselves up to look like a harlot, but that doesn't have anything with doing things in moderation. There's nothing wrong with wearing makeup if it's done in moderation. But there are certain ways of painting the faces, like putting a sign on your forehead that says, I'm for hire. He said, don't do that. I really think you need to go back. Now, see, this is what traditions of men will do for you. And I'll apologize if my memory has skipped a cog here, but I do not believe that is written in God's Word anywhere. And whereby paint, it means don't paint yourself up like a harlot, all right? Makeup used in moderation is very attractive, and there is no sin in it. I know that will upset some, be that as it may, be upset at the old pastor. We can still be friends, all right? I'll answer to God for having said it without shame. All right? Okay, Marion from Pennsylvania. My grandson is mentally disabled. We don't know how much understanding that he has. He knows of heaven and knows of God. Does he need to know about Jesus or the cross to be saved, as he doesn't seem to understand that part? No, God takes care of his own. God sends a child like this to special people that are big enough that their very lives can be a witness that Christianity is a reality, all right? And he takes care of the innocent, and that boy is innocent, no doubt, by your description. God's a God of love, not a devil with a pitchfork to throw people in the fire, okay? He loves his children. Robert from Illinois, how will we know it's Christ and not the Antichrist when he comes? Because the Antichrist comes first and you're still in the flesh. If some supernatural entity appears on earth and you're still in a flesh body, in other words, you can pinch yourself and it hurts, he's a liar. Because at the last trump, we changed instantly, the wink of an eye, into a spiritual body. My wife has passed on. Will we know each other when I pass on? Yes, you will. It is written in Ezekiel 44 that God's elect will be able to help wife, husband, close kin. Naturally, they would have to recognize each other or you wouldn't know who to help. Kara from California. When I am in the third world age, will Satan be there? No. No. Now, the third world age is the eternity, and Satan will have been destroyed, turned to ashes from within, as it is written in Ezekiel 28. Don't let men confuse you. He will have participated in the second death. Were the dinosaurs on the ark? If they were, or if they were too large, is that how they became extinct? No, they were extinct long before the flood of Noah. All right, they were extinct even before the Kabil, I think. There must have been more than one trouble spot with Satan. Jim from Minnesota, do I have to have another Christian with me to anoint my home? No, it's between you and the Lord. How do I anoint my home? Well, if you choose to, if you feel led to, we are supposed to anoint, as it is written in James chapter 5, the sick. If your home is sick, and if it's got something evil in it, it's sick, anoint it and order Satan to never cross the threshold by the power of Yeshua. We have power over him. We can tell him to do or stay away from where we choose to. Dulce from Georgia, is it okay to be baptized in fresh water instead of salt water? Where in the world did you hear that, darling? The Jordan was not salt water. Okay, the baptism is as to whether or not you believe in Christ. Okay, I'm out of time, so I'm going to have to stop there. Get baptized in fresh water. Fine. Out of time. Hey, I love you all a whole big bunch. You know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word more in depth. We're brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, help us to keep coming to you. Once you do that, and also to reach new people. It's so good to enjoy the love of our Father. Every day in His Word's a good day. Do you know why? Because of that love, and because Yeshua Jesus is the living word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.
The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us, going into the depth, if you would, in that second book.